Welcome to the Marketing AI Sparkcast, where AI meets modern marketing. Hosted by Abhi Varma, a global leader in marketing, AI, and innovation, each episode brings you real conversations with leaders putting AI to work in strategy and execution. This episode is brought to you by Spark Novus and the Marketing AI Pulse community. Here's your host, Abhi Varma.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Marketing AI Sparkcast. This is our first in-studio recording today, so super excited about that. Imagine a world where your wildest creative ideas come to life, not in months, but in days. When it comes to the creative process, imagine all the science fiction tools are now actually sitting on your desktop, and that is reality today. We are super excited to welcome Christian Herity. He is the creative director and AI lead at Accenture Song. Christian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. This is so exciting, man. We're going to unpack the creative process. We're going to talk about storytelling, the impact on talent, and so many things. But before we do any of that stuff, just walk us through a little bit about your background, your AI journey, if you will. And I would love to learn about your role at Accenture Song.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah. How's that? Kid that was drawing in the back of class. When I was young, my father would say, one day maybe you'll be a comic. You can do the funnies in the Sunday paper, but I never wanted to do that. Years went by, still embracing art and photography, sculpting, painting, but I was following the herd and to go to college to be maybe an accountant. Wasn't sure, didn't really believe in the art side of things, but then the 3D industry came to fruition. And then all of a sudden, all these crazy ideas and thoughts in my head, I could create these new worlds in 3D. So I dove into that and then moved from 3D industry to become a designer, from packaging and branding, then an art director, then a creative director, and then a director of commercials. So through that kind of that journey, it's perfectly suited me to the other, I hate to say bookends because I don't believe them at the end of my career, but I started in the 3D and I'm running at this AI as fast. So it's very exciting times. I look at it now, my role with Accenture really is looking at these AI systems and trying to AI-enable content, creating new workflows, really trying to take the buzzword of AI and make some actual real work, to actually some tangible work. So that's where we're at.
Awesome.
We work with a lot of marketing organizations, a lot of creative people. And I've seen people in all sort of spectrums where people are sitting on the sidelines, like really overwhelmed about how this AI is going to impact their workflows, their organizations, and their industry, and others who are diving in head first. So talk to me a little bit about where you are in your journey and how you came about it.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the 3D industry, I always felt a little bit of resentment and sadness that I left this world where I was able to create my own characters. I was doing the camera work, the lighting, the textures, the storytelling. I was able to do everything. And then that was my initial lead, where these ideas in my head, I didn't have to figure out a way to create a sock puppet and set a camera up like here, or have one of my friends bring a camera over. I could actually create it myself. So that was my general interest, my curiosity leading into that. I think from there, working at Accenture, there were a few workshops that were showing us some very early level prompting methodology, if you will, for Midjourney a few years ago. And I saw that. And I saw it just clicked. It was after that demonstration. So that a major interest in it and started following some influencer, whether it's on LinkedIn and in social. And a couple of those initial viral, if you will, these were viral, like the Adidas AI ad that came out a few years ago. That was one of my coworkers. He has since left the company, but I saw that and it was just an eye-opening moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It is just super fascinating now. People who are exposed to it, the lights just turn on. It's one of those things where you can't unsee it, and it is really infiltrating all parts of the creative process in so many different ways. So maybe talk a little bit about that. How do you feel AI has impacted and changed your creative process?
Yeah, I think as we talked about, when we're building worlds, when we're bringing a proof of concept together, these new tools have made those goals, those visions attainable. So I think now the sky's the limit. And then you take that and then the iterative nature of the platforms themselves, gives us the opportunity to look at the unenjoyable, we'd call it the messy middle, now is enjoyable because we can be iterative and keep going and really expand upon our ideas. So I think that has been one of the major excitements through this.
What do you feel, what has surprised you as part of the impact of AI in the creative process? Is there any aspect of that has surprised you that you were not expecting as you embarked on this journey?
I think, surprisingly, no. But I look at it, though, the most eye-opening aspect is the exponential growth and how fast things are moving. It's very hard to finish projects right now because you're pushing the edge of all these platforms. And then when you finally hit render and you're getting your editing and you're getting ready to push it out, the next week they roll an update.
Yeah.
And you're, oh, we have to go back. So I think that is the thing I didn't foresee, is how fast this would be moving. But yeah, I'm ready. It's a white knuckle ride.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. So let's talk a little bit about the balance of in the creative process of AI versus human.
Yeah.
How do you do your creative process when you're thinking and imagining what the final outcome is? Do you have, take our listeners through your process and how you balance the role of the human being and where AI comes into action? Do you have a formalized process? Is it custom for every kind of creative output that you go through, or just bring us into that process a little bit?
Yeah. I look at it with the AI approach. We look at something at scale. That's one of our litmus tests, if you will. And then something that's brand centric would be more human based. So a rule would be with the AI, we're looking at the two V's, would say volume and velocity. Where on the human side, we would look at that and say value and voice. So that's the methodology right now, looking at that. I say this a lot within the company and inside and outside the walls, that it's a superpower, not a superhero. So it's still led by people. So I think that's the thing that we have to really keep in focus is, yeah. So that's my take on that right now.
Love that. Yeah, I love that. I don't know if you've heard about this, but I've heard this phrase, which I love, which is the human AI sandwich, right? Where you have the human aspect of intuition and creativity and imagination on one side of the sandwich. Then you have AI for velocity in exploring things that were never possible before. And then humans on the other side of it, human in the loop, trying to see what the outcome is. And that kind of resonates with what the original goals were. So that human AI sandwich, do you feel the same way in the creative process?
I do. I think, look, like I mentioned, it's very specific. Different jobs require different formulas, different workflows, different systems. So I think it's identifying that there's not a generalized, I think, methodology of the implementation of technology. I think we still lead with idea, not with tools. So I think that's the thing. It's not the cart before the horse.
Yeah. I love the fact that lead with idea and not the tool. Has AI changed your storytelling process? In other words, now that you know what AI can make possible.
Yeah.
Are your stories bigger and broader and more exotic and things that may not have been possible before? Because before you were maybe thinking of production budgets and that sort of stuff. But now you're like, okay, wow, with AI, I can create pretty much any world.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing, the world building. And we can take cameras to places all over the globe we never imagined. We didn't have the budget to shoot. Even with some of the new systems through Google, where we can actually, it's still relatively new, we can actually use the Google Maps API and go on location now. So now we don't even need locational permits to shoot on by the Fox Theater. So it's fascinating. So yeah, the opportunities are growing every day. I think one of the changes that you asked was it's more so modular beats now. So in the past, if we were out shooting, we only have so much backlog. We only have so much we capture. There's so many takes where you can just keep going back and iterating and really fine tune all of those little modular beats throughout your storytelling elements. So I think the opportunity, it's scary because for me, without a deadline, I'll keep tweaking.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. And then it's also scary too on the side of clients because they'll keep saying, what if you did it like this? What if you did it like this? It just keeps going.
Yeah. So it's fun, but it
can get a little sticky.
Yeah. So that means like in the creative process, do you rough things out with AI and kind of live ideate with the client, because you can do that now, right? Hey, we want to record something in Trafalgar Square in London and let's just mock it out with AI and do it that way.
Sure.
And then ideate and the client's, no, I'm not really feeling it. I think we need to pick a different location. Is that a
sort of a change in the creative process that you are seeing already?
Absolutely. Like I mentioned, beyond that, I think just to come back a little bit, it always starts with that idea. And I think from that idea, whether that's the brand's voice, whether that's a campaign or a platform that we're building upon, I think building on that, the story kind of tells itself. But now the traditional ways that we used to, whether it was storyboards, whether it was bringing these sketches to life and then presenting those and building those worlds, it's just a lot faster now. So now I can go right in. If I was going to use a specific camera, a specific lens kit, I can put that in my prompts. I can capture exactly what we want, who we want. We can create all of our virtual talent. And even if we have full intentions of shooting things, so the storyboard today looks like, I wouldn't say pre-vis, it's not completely polished, but it's getting close. But you put that out there, that's immediate proof of concept. That's proof of the story. It's tangible. You can see it. And then the information is already there, how we created the lighting, the time of the day, the camera equipment, the color palettes. So we can actually see it now. So we used to look at marker renderings. Now we're looking at these beautiful AI generations.
Wow. Without, I know your clients and there's confidentiality and all that kind of stuff, but what's the coolest world that you have imagined up during your creative process? Just curious.
A lot outside of the walls. So yeah, I think for me, that's the madness in my own brain where there's not enough hours in the day now to tell all the stories. But interestingly enough, there is a way now. So now, you know, all these little short stories, I think for me, one of the biggest interests that I have is one thing, this push towards AI. There's this also going to be an equal push to humans and human connection where people are fascinated with people. And I find that like historic events and the ability now to retell those stories from pictures, to go back even in history and rebuild that world so people can actually have this immersive experience of what happened during that time period. I see that as like a really viable ground. And it's something that those are the worlds that I've been working with lately. I think it's very interesting.
Very cool. Now, a lot of people who are not exposed to this AI-enabled, AI-powered creative process have some serious misconceptions about what the outcomes can be. What is your take on that? If there were skeptics who were listening to this podcast, what is your advice to them? And what are the misconceptions you may have heard of? And how do you deal with that?
Yeah, the one I hear a lot, especially in the art community, is obviously compliance, where the tools were trained. Well, there's a lot of artists who work their careers and have slight disdain in the fact that they feel as though this is potentially stealing, which some of the programs were trained on other people's arts. And we all saw that. We know that. So a lot of those programs are not compliant within big organizations. Interestingly enough, we look at all of this. And as an artist myself, it's to see the world broadly and understand a lot of things enables you to be really good at one thing. So, you know, every project that I've ever worked on, I used to surround myself in books and look at the best work that someone did for that type of client, whether it was an automotive, whether it was financial, pharmaceutical, petroleum, whatever area of focus that you'd want to identify with the best work. But you would never, as ethics, you would never take from that. You would never steal and add verbatim. There's a saying, to steal from one is plagiarism, to steal from many is research. So I think once we come to grips of understanding how, I understand there's a trail, an IP trail to exactly how this was trained. But that's how all artists were trained. That's how we were all trained, by looking around, looking at the world and not stealing from each other. So I think that's the big thing I see definitely from a misconception. But there is some reality to it.
So, yeah, that's true. Yeah. The other thing that I hear a lot about is just almost like believability and authenticity, where people are almost questioning things. So my sister, she's a commercial artist, and as part of a project that she was doing, she wanted me to do a voiceover, and I did it, and I was running it by my kids, and my boys were like, oh, that's AI, Dad, right? And I'm like, no, that's me. And no, that's AI. Come on. So I'm like, no, that's me. So I found myself in this weird situation where I was almost trying to convince my kids that was not AI. So there's an element of that sort of believability and authenticity. Do you feel that in terms of people who see the outcome?
Yeah, it has the potential to get there. And some people can bring it there, I think. But is that our goal? That's my question. So for me, I look at it as another tool of creation, of art. So I'm not here. We're not here trying to replicate people or fool people or put people in the uncanny valley. There was a movie when I was in the 3D industry that came out. It's called Final Fantasy. The 3D elements were so believable. Within a few minutes of watching the movie, you thought you were just watching live action. But then you realize you're not. And you fall into that uncanny valley where that movie alone nearly crippled the 3D industry. Fortunately, sometime after Shrek came out.
Yeah.
So then there's the tools, creating new worlds, new ways of stories. What if the goal of just trying to replace ourselves? It doesn't seem very ambitious.
Yeah.
So I think looking at this and trying to build on, again, the past, the future, I think there's a lot more hope in utilizing the tools to do something other than replicate ourselves.
Yep. That's true. Yeah. So what is your take? I have a good sense of what you may think about this, but do you feel AI is helping people be more creative, or is it removing the imagination and creativity out of people?
Yeah, that would be the same question you would say when people went from film to digital cameras, where suddenly you were able to be iterative and snap off 100 shots, where before you had a roll and you had to wait to develop it.
Yeah.
So I don't think speed is something that is necessarily pulling creativity out of us. If anything, it gives us the opportunity to be more iterative. I think with the internet and all our abilities now to not have to find books and find art, I think all the tools are there for us to dream and keep dreaming. I think it's, again, that's a long-winded.
No, that's good. Good. No, I think that's awesome because I often tell people when it comes to AI and things like that where people are skeptical about the impact of AI. And I'm like, no, at the end of the day, it's bringing your ideas to life. Right. So it's almost, think of that as an enabler, if nothing else. Obviously, if it's garbage in, garbage out, if you just say, hey, create me, fill in the blanks, and you're not giving them any guidelines, it's not your ideas, you're relying on AI to come up with ideas, then sure. But that's not the ideal use case of how you would want to leverage something like that.
No, AI is not the visionary.
Yes. So. Yep, absolutely. All right. So let's talk a little bit about technology specifically, right? Yeah. Now, within the world of video applications or image creation or audio or music, just the last 6 months has been explosive,
right?
What are your go-to tools and technologies that you are currently using? Why do you love them? And just share a little bit of insights on how each of those tools and technologies could be used by some of the folks who are listening to this episode.
Yeah, I mean, there's not one complete package, I would say. It's important to understand and utilize a lot of them so you understand the strengths and weaknesses, so you can stack for specific jobs. But personally, VO3 for video, it's unbelievable. Just the physics aspect of it. And some of there's still issues with one concern with a lot of these programs is still continuity with shots, but it's getting better every day. So I would say VO3 Runway for video. So those are my two go-to videos. I would say for image generation, Midjourney. Been in the lead for a while, and I don't see it changing anytime soon. Then there's 11 Labs, as you just mentioned. And then the funny, we were talking earlier here, was there's still the old school stack, which is editing. You got to learn your editing tools. I have a lot of friends that are dipping in a little bit. They got their toes in the AI world now. They're doing some really nice stuff, but they don't edit. And I'm like, you got to be able to put your ideas together.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be a master editor. You just need to sequence events, understand a timeline, in and outs and transitions. So I think still understanding our, I wouldn't say traditional tools, because Adobe keeps building better products as well.
Yeah.
Just Photoshop, for example, with their generative fill, I use that a lot. So to fix shots. So I'll take shots from Midjourney, bring them into Adobe, isolate certain areas, and Adobe does a great job of that. Again, a lot of them, those are my few favorites.
Anything for music or audio and that sort of stuff?
That would be 11 Labs. I think they are by far the leader in that space. I've looked and been reading into some others lately, but I started with 11 Labs and just continued.
Cool.
Yeah.
So let's flip it around. So obviously there are a lot of powerful tools, the ones we just went through. Despite all the AI capabilities, what makes you uncomfortable using AI? Are there any tools and technologies you're like, no, I think this we need to really record the old-fashioned way, the pre-AI way? I can't imagine pre-AI is old-fashioned now. The pre-AI way. Yeah. Are there still things that you were like, no, I think we should just record this traditionally?
Yeah, I think it's use case. Obviously, deepfakes is something that I don't want to try to replicate a person or people. Although, interestingly enough, that has become an interesting topic as of late and people potentially wanting to do. But, you know, generally, no. I think there's, as I mentioned, a use case and really understanding. There's, as we mentioned, the ethics of being an artist or being a designer and not taking from other people. It's like being compliant. I think, yeah, knowing that some of these systems were trained by specific artists, I think it would be very uncomfortable to go in and prompt utilizing the exact methodology and or utilizing the person, the artist's name or the director's name. So some of that, I understand people do that. I think, to me, that's the part that feels a little, there's something wrong with that. I feel as though that, if there's a Wes Anderson or if there's a Christopher Nolan, instead of utilizing that name, those names in your prompt and taking that person's style directly, maybe research that style. And you can use AI tools like ChatGPT to say, can you show me, what are some of the characteristics of a Christopher Nolan film? Read about it. Understand what he does with the lighting. Read about how he frames a shot. Same with Wes Anderson and his composition. How does that work? So become a student. Just don't take. So I think for me, that's the main area of love that. Yeah. Yeah. So get inspired, but don't steal.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's no valor in that.
Yep.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So a little bit of, we've obviously spoken about the production process. Talk a little bit about, if you zoom out and then from a brand perspective, like brands who are commissioning Accenture and other creatives to do this sort of work, the paradigm has changed there as well, right? Because now the time expectation and the cost expectation and the attainability expectations of brands has changed dramatically. And how do you suddenly have this whole host of creative assets for your campaigns that you may not have had the ability to pull off pre-AI? Have you guys, Accenture and you personally, have you seen an impact on how brands are dealing with this? Are you thinking their expectation in the kind of the volume of campaigns has suddenly gone up because they can? Or are you seeing imaginations are through the roof? I just wanted to get a sense of how is this impacting brands and marketing leaders who are getting all this creative work commissioned?
I think it's interesting that we talked about how fast things have evolved. A year ago, there wasn't quite as much interest in that front, the client front. Now we're starting to hear a lot more of it. And I think it's important to understand that AI doesn't necessarily equate to cheaper or it's going to be value-based, nor does it always mean necessarily faster. I think on the creative side of process, that's the iterative, us bringing that POC together faster, that making those worlds, that vision come to life. That's the amplifier. That's the superpower that for creative. So there's somewhat of an education because I feel as though a lot of people look at it as the easy button. When I worked in the 3D industry, it was the same thing. People thought maybe I had a dinosaur button on my keyboard. I can hit a button and a dinosaur was a 3D model. It's not that way. So you look at it, there's still a lot of talent behind the tools, looking at it and understanding that you're taking people that had a great eye for creativity, for branding, and now they're utilizing tools. It just elevates them. It's that amplification. So I think understanding that, right, there's this huge paradigm shift of us all aligning and really understanding the monetization side of things is obviously extremely interesting. And really everyone's still trying to figure that out. But then you look at some larger clients potentially with opportunity for automation, looking in training, which is very plausible in training some of these systems to understand, looking at all the creative that they already own or they've already produced and training it from their own work, their own brand elements.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity down the line. So.
Love that. Because then you could almost have AI trained up. Yep. On your brand voice, your brand style and that sort of thing, and then help accelerate production.
Absolutely. And they're all your products or photography. You already own it. And now you're training the system. And yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah. Are CMOs and marketing leaders, as a result of this, experimenting more on account of what's possible?
Yeah, I think so. There's still part of that paradigm shift, too, is compliance. There's a lot of big organizations that still, they're not going to utilize
the risk averse a little bit.
There's a lot of legal issues. Really understanding that. So where smaller companies obviously have the opportunity to be a little bit more nimble and more risk averse. But there comes, with great power comes great discretion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You mentioned something earlier about the role of talent, right? So obviously, we're seeing it in the news and in articles and whatnot. The industry, or LinkedIn for that matter, is where AI is going to take our jobs. What is your take as part of this entire process and on how you feel? Obviously, there is still a lot of elements of creativity and human intuition and storytelling and all those things, which are the human being is front and center. But then there's a lot of elements of production, which AI can certainly accelerate. And what do you really feel about the impact on talent and jobs and careers as a result of the advent of AI?
Yeah, I think it's important not to turn a blind eye to it, obviously. So I'm not going to be naive and sit here and think that I don't think there will be change. Inevitably, there will be change. But the important thing, as I've said many times, is it's not AI that's going to take your job. It's people utilizing AI that's going to take your job. So I think it's very important to look at it that way. I think that's the CTA of the moment right now, the call to action to be AI enabled, to understand these systems as far as creativity goes. I'm a general optimist. Some people have told me in the past that I need to focus on being more of a realist at times. But so I'm optimistic about it. I see industries that we could never fathom before are going to come to fruition. These systems are going to help us build and bring these ideas to life. We're going to see new delivery ways of content. And again, I'm not naive, but I'm being optimistic. So so that's how I feel. But again, I think inevitably there'll be change. Yeah.
And then also there's an aspect of where I feel there's going to be a democratization of these skills, right? Not taking names, but one of my clients, she's certainly not a filmmaker by any stretch, right? I'm a talented marketer, but really has embraced AI-based video storytelling and come up with some really stunning work, right? And this is somebody who is a talented but plain Jane content marketer. And you're going to see more and more of that, where people are going to be able to tell their stories from a video format standpoint, a video medium standpoint, to where you'll see an explosion of that. Do you feel that AI is going to enable that too? Like from a talent standpoint, democratized the ability or the talent of people where they can take those ideas and bring them to life in that video format?
Yeah, but I look at it in the way of if the tool's there. If you never, how would you know that you're a great guitar player if you never held one? So now accessibility. So the fact of, it's funny, my writing partner and I, years ago, he wrote a headline for a guitar company that we did an ad for that was, every man dies with their song, their favorite song within them. So we all have this curiosity, this short story or film or song I want to write, but you can't. So you look at it now, that's the way I look at it. That's the way your colleague found it, her calling. So yeah, I don't look at it as democratization of things that are like, I look at it more so as this empowerment people.
All right, home stretch here. All right, our podcast is targeted towards marketing folks, and there's a lot of listeners who would be interested in this. But for folks who are sitting on the sidelines and have not dabbled, they've certainly seen videos and heard stories about the power of AI when it comes to creative video storytelling, but have not dabbled with it. What is your advice? Top three things that you would recommend they do, or how do they get the ball rolling? How do they start?
Again, I think everything, I always come back to idea-based. Do you have a product? Do you have an idea? Do you have a story? Do you have a vision that you want to bring to life? Think of something tangible, or maybe it was not tangible before, but now the tools are here. So I think, but that's not necessarily the entryway. There's also just curiosity. Dive into the tools, and then an idea might come into your head. So suddenly you realize there was a vision that you maybe have looked past for your entire career, or a story you couldn't tell, but now you can. So I think with that is stay imaginative, stay curious. Look, talked about this earlier. There's a lot of these platforms have pay gates. So I understand there is a little bit of the fiscal leap as well, but a lot of these platforms offer so many free credits. Try them out, find that one that you really like. They have different programs and within their tier systems, and try it out. And so I think that's the thing. It's you'd be surprised. And I love that story that you told, because if that curiosity wasn't there for her, it's not much risk there for her to bring an idea to life. And she did it.
Yep.
She did it successfully. I think that's a great thing. So just get out there and do it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Christian, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time today. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in, and make sure to follow Christian on LinkedIn, Christian Herity, and have a great day, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Big thanks to Spark Novus and the Marketing AI Pulse community. You can join the community at marketingaipulse.com.